We'll just pray. Thank you, Father, that you love our whole person, our whole spirit, soul, and body. Thank you, Father, that you hadn't just come to heal our soul or come to heal our spirit, but that you also come to heal our body. Thank you, Father, that, man, we can find our flesh being made whole, that we can find our flesh being put to rest by the word of truth today, that we could just find the word of life that you spoke in Jesus, that we could find it as health and healing to all of our flesh as we walk in this world, that we can find our flesh healed from the calamity that has tried to come upon it. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God. We'll just start by jumping right into the verses. You guys got here earlier. I see that, huh? Because what's funny is I just looked at the time and I thought, you know what? I am starting much earlier now. But I think it works out better for people because they can leave earlier, right? The earlier I start, the earlier I'm finished. Glory to God. And even, listen, did you guys see, and I'm already ruining it happening again now, but did you guys see the last message I preached before I went to Houston was even under an hour? That was like, seriously, man, that's like a miracle. That's like a miracle. You don't know. People have been praying for that for years. I mean, people have been interceding. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lord, I want to go, but this guy. There's no end to his ramblings. Oh, we'll jump right into these verses. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22. My son. Something when you think of Proverbs saying, my son. And I'm not going to get into proving all of this because that's another time, another place. But you want to think of God talking to Jesus, right? Luke says Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. He grew in his wisdom and his understanding, and he grew, which caused him to grow in the stature of his sonship, right? And so what you want to see is that Jesus was ministered to by the Father and the Holy Spirit when he was born into the world, from the time he was a baby, an infant. You know, the way we were like ministered to by our parents, and we were raised and taught and shown things and expressed things. It says Jesus emptied himself of his divinity. It doesn't mean that he wasn't still God. But what it means is he come as a man, and he had to hear and be taught and learn things, right, as a man, right, and have that kind of manifest out of him. So something that can help you when you're reading the book of Proverbs, you want to see it as the Father and the Spirit talking with the Son, right? And the Father and the Spirit raising Jesus up in the truth, right? Filling his heart with the faith, right? Filling his heart with who he is, where he came from, where life is found, where his life has come from, what his life that he has looks like in the midst of a world that doesn't have his life in it, right? And so my son, attend to my words. You don't want to just see it as some guy talking, right? And in the context of this, you could see it as David talking to Solomon, right? Or you could see it in some context like that. And I don't say there's no application for that, but what I'm saying is on a much deeper level, you want to see the Father, Son, and Spirit sitting around and having a powwow, right? That's how you want to see this. So my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Right? And that's the part we're going to hone in on. But before we do that, we'll jump to another verse, Psalm 107, verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Okay, so we're going to focus in on the healing of the flesh or health for all of our flesh and what that actually looks like and what it's talking about in the scriptures, right? Not our cultural view, not what we decide those things mean, but what is the scriptures talking about when it says that our flesh needs to be healed or that the word or God's word is health to our flesh? What is the scriptures' view of sickness in the flesh, right? What does it mean for the flesh to be sick, right? That's what we kind of want to look at. We want to kind of try to shelve our own thoughts and ideas about that and just kind of see what God would say about those things, right? And just let that minister to us. I know it's difficult. All of us in here are grown people, and so we've already decided what we think about so many things. So try and leave some room for wrestling with all your preconceived notions. Glory to God. So the question is, what does it mean for the word to be health to our flesh? What does that mean? What does it mean to be healed by the word? That's the question you want to start with in your heart, and start with that with God. Tell God when you leave today, Lord, I want to know what it means that your word is health to all my flesh. I want to know what it means that you sent your word and healed me. I want to know, right? In the deepest part of my being, I want to know, right? I want to have the spirit of understanding open my eyes and allow me to understand this and to be intimate with what you're saying here. Amen. God's good pleasure is to do that. Now listen, there's a lot of things that we can say about our flesh being healed. There's a lot of different ways I could come and preach that. There's a lot of different perspectives I could come and preach that from. We could talk about it from the perspective of the glorification of our flesh and our flesh being healed from death when our mortal bodies are swallowed up with immortality on the last day. We could preach health for all our flesh from that perspective. We can talk about our health prospering even as, we could talk about our health prospering as our hearts are healed from the fear and the stress that's in the world, right? 3 John verse 2, John prayed, or he told them that he desired that they would prosper and be in health even as their soul prospered. So what he's talking about there is that even as their soul or their heart can be healed from the fear that's in the world, their health will begin to prosper. Their life, their whole life will prosper. And I'm not defining prosperity by our definition, guys. We think prosperity means a guy's got $10 million in a big mansion. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying as the fear is removed from your heart, you're going to get a mansion and $10 million, right? I hate to say it this way, and it isn't bad to have money, but please understand what I'm saying. How poor are we if we define prosperity by money and material possessions? Do you see what I'm saying? There's a much greater prosperity out there than that can be attained to through money and material possessions, right? So I could preach about health for our flesh from the perspective of our health prospering as our hearts are healed from fear and stress. I don't know if you guys know this, but even the scientific community would say that the root of all disease is stress, right? That stress is contrary to the human being. And the more that a human being walks in stress, the greater damage it can have on the body, the cellular makeup. So we can even find our health prospering as fear and stress is removed from our hearts. Because fear is like a disease, right? The heart of the human was never meant to be able to have fear inside of it. So the moment you come and take something that was never meant to be in human and you come and put it in human, it begins to have a very negative effect, right? The body won't function right. The mind won't function right with fear in the heart, right? It will cause all kinds of things that weren't meant for the design of man. So health for the flesh could even be preached from. You'll find your blood pressure going down. You'll find heart disease going away from you. You'll find all sorts of nice things happening in your body as fear is removed, as stress is removed, as innocence comes back, and you begin living like a child again, right? You'll find yourself being delivered from a lot of ailments that can come upon you. Glory to God, right? We can also talk about health for all our flesh from the perspective of people being miraculously healed from things like a cancer in their bodies or from some type of injury, some type of miraculous healing from an injury or an ailment. We can talk about health for our flesh from that perspective of a miraculous healing coming to somebody from the power of the resurrection and it being a sign and a wonder in the earth testifying of the eternal life that's in Jesus. We can even talk about it from that perspective some. And there's some validity to talking about all of those things. But that's not what the scripture is talking about when it talks about that he sent his word and healed us. That's not the real healing, right? We've defined healing just in the sense of a physical ailment or a disease. And I think what the church has done, much of the church worldwide, which I consider myself part of and I have great experience with because I grew up in the church, right? And so in all my years of being in the church, when we talked about healing and health for the flesh, we primarily defined healing and the healing of the flesh in verses like Proverbs 4 and Psalms 107 as pertaining to like a fever being healed, right? Or a cancer being healed, or an injury being healed, right? Whenever we preached about healing, whenever we preached about that, our health or our flesh being made healthy, we always thought of it from that perspective. I got this fever and now the fever's gone. I got this disease and now the disease is gone. I got one leg longer than the other leg and now the legs are equal. You ever notice how that's like the primary miracle people perform? The growing out of the leg. They come and yank on a guy's leg so hard that it looks like it's come. Have you ever, listen, I kid, man. Listen, some legs can grow out. Diseases can be healed. Right? Injuries can be miraculously healed by the power of the resurrection as a sign, wonder, and a testimony of the eternal life that's in Jesus that overcomes the sin and death in the world. Right? That is an aspect of healing. But we've primarily defined healing by that way. And we've primarily focused on healing by that way or something of that nature. Okay? But is that really, and that's what we want to ask ourselves, is that really the focus of what those verses are talking about? Is that really what those verses are talking about, or have we put that in there? Right? That's what we want to ask ourselves about these things. Forget about what we think is there. What does God mean? Right? I keep saying that a lot because that's the most important thing. Too many times we want to think about a thing based on what do we think about that thing? Right? When the first question out of our heart should be, Father, what do you think about this thing? What are you trying to say here before we try to decide, right? And that will really help us. And listen, guys, yes, a cancer or physical ailment can be healed in a person's body. We rejoice over that. And we lay hands on people and pray for all manner of sicknesses and diseases that can come against people. We lay hands on them and we pray for all those things to be sent away from them in the name of Jesus. We lay hands on them and we pray for all those things to be removed from them as far as the east is from the west in the name of Jesus. And we pray from the foundation of knowing that God has divorced us from sin and death in Christ Jesus. And so, yes, we do all that and we pray for all that. And we know that God has conquered sin and death. And we pray from that foundation and we pray knowing that eternal life has swallowed sin and death. Glory to God. With all that being said, should a person's body be healed of a cancer or something like that, but they are still filled with hatred and envy and gossiping and backbiting and fornication, then their flesh has still not been healed. Do you see what I'm saying? If a person has an in, and if we looked at it more this way, we would look at people who are suffering under the hands of the works of the flesh, we would look at it more as they're in need of a physician instead of looking at it as they're the cursed of God. Do you see what I'm saying? We don't look at a person that's filled with stealing as being sick. Or as a sickness having come upon his flesh. We don't think of it that way. We think of him as an evil, wicked, vile person. Instead of a person in need of a physician or in need of a doctor. Right? So if a person has an injury in their body, even should their body be healed of that injury, if they are still filled with laboring and toiling to attain to life, then their flesh hasn't been healed. Their flesh is still sick. Their flesh has actually not been healed in either one of those instances. So we could have seen a miraculous healing from a cancer in their body, and we could see a miraculous healing from an injury in their body, but if they're still clothed, if their flesh is still bearing hatred and envy and backbiting and gossiping, in all manner of fornications, then their flesh hasn't been healed. And if their flesh is still filled with laboring and toiling to try to attain to life, then their flesh still isn't healed. I don't care what disease you got to be healed that day, their flesh is still sick. You see, what's happened in the church and what I've observed is we focused on trying to get a physical healing for somebody, and glory to God, like I said, we will pray for those people to be healed. But that's not the sickness that they're in need of being healed. Do you see what I'm saying? And so what's happened, because we got the focus a little bit off, we've majored in getting signs, wonders, and miracles, and we have some success there. And glory to God for that success. But we've completely lost sight of this other form of sickness, and we've left people still sick in their flesh constantly. Because we've turned these verses into trying to get a physical healing for somebody, or just trying to get a fever healed. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Do you see how I'm not despising laying hands on people and praying for a sickness to be sent away from them? I'm not despising that, but we've despised this. And this is the healing and the health that God is primarily focused on. So I want to look at that, right? I'm not saying that the flesh being healed cannot also pertain to an ailment or a disease in the sense of how we've defined those things. I'm not saying that. But I think the primary meaning of health for the flesh is actually pertaining to what we see in Adam when the motion of sin was excited in Adam's members through his flesh lusting to be clothed in life. That's the primary aspect that I think the scriptures are talking about when it talks about health for our flesh. It's less about pointing to those diseases, and it's more about pointing to the sickness that came upon Adam's flesh when his flesh was excited with the motion of sin through him lusting to try to clothe himself with life. He lusted after life in his heart. He lusted through his own works. He lusted through his own labors after life. And that excited the motion of sin inside of his flesh. And I think what these verses are primarily pointing to is our flesh being healed from the motion of sin that was excited inside of our flesh from the death that entered the world. Right? That's what I think the healing for all of our flesh is primarily talking about. And I'll jump a little bit ahead, but the word is called the word of life. So it says, my son, attend to my words, for it is health to all your flesh. What word? The word of life. Well, how would the word of life be health to all our flesh? Well, it's death that entered the world that excited our flesh with the motion of sin. It excited our flesh with a lusting after life. It excited our flesh with labors and annoyances by trying to get us to lust after life through our own flesh. Now, the word of life would come, and it would be held to our flesh, because it would come and give us the life that our flesh longs for, and then that would put our flesh to rest. It would heal our flesh from the motion of sin. And I think health for all our flesh is talking about our flesh being healed from the motion of sin that came forth inside of it when death entered the world. Right? The flesh longs for life. It doesn't long for death. And when it sees death, it concludes that it doesn't have life. And then a lust comes alive inside of it, desiring to have life. And should the flesh try to attain the life itself, the motion of sin is activated inside of that flesh. Now that flesh has been taken from rest, and that flesh is filled with labors and annoyances trying to attain to life. And the more that it tries to attain to life itself, the more it clothes itself in the works of the flesh. Envy, hatred, gossiping, backbiting, fornication. We're in need of those things being healed. You see what I'm saying? And I'll cover it again later on. So I hope that makes some sense, guys. A long time ago, I don't even want to say a long time ago, my whole life I was in part of several different ministries. I love all those ministries. I love all those people. But what I saw was we focused healing on trying to get miracles. We turned all the healing verses into trying to get a miracle. And we got some miracles. We did. Glory to God. But what I saw was that the people were all still sick because none of them were finding their flesh put to rest. And none of them were actually hearing what the word of life was. The word that was being taught was that you can just have a miracle happen. And so from week to week, we needed a miracle. And we were still sick. Every week we were sick. And even after getting a miracle, like a year later, that same sickness would come back. Because our hearts hadn't been healed, really. Our hearts hadn't been actually stung with the word of life. I don't even want to say stung because we have a negative connotation of that. Our hearts hadn't been comforted with the word of life. from the sting of death yet. And so even though we got a great miracle the week before, we come back to church the next week still sick. Sick in the heart. Sick in our flesh. Our flesh still being clothed in hatred and envy and lack and gossiping and backbiting. All the time, not even understanding what God had done. Right? I watched this thing happen. And so a big part of what's in my heart is for people to be set free from that and for their health to actually prosper permanently from being set free from the effect of death in the heart, right? Instead of just trying to get a miracle. Now, we rejoice in miracles. They're in the Bible. We will lay hands on the sick, and we will declare that God has conquered sin and death. And we will pray for that sin and death to be removed from them as far as the east is from the west. But we don't want to confuse that with what health for all the flesh is, or what healing primarily is talking about, right? Because it leaves us all walking around wrapped up in the works of the flesh still. Glory to God, God loves us. Glory to God, we can get a miracle, but I'm still filled with fear and lack and envy and gossiping and backbiting and fornication and all the sort. But God loves me. Listen, man, you'll get to the place where you tell God, listen, it's nice that you like me. I feel real good about that. But man, listen, I want to be healed from all that. I don't want to feel hatred for people anymore. I don't want to feel envy for people anymore. I don't want to feel fear anymore, right? There's a healing for that. And what I'm trying to say is the healing the scriptures are primarily talking about in the context of us walking in this world with the first fruits of the Spirit, the health that's primarily being talked about for all our flesh is our flesh being healed from its labors. And our flesh being healed from being clothed in the works of the flesh because we were laboring. That's the health for all of our flesh. Glory to God. And I mean, for those of you that are able to miraculously track with me, I just answered this question. But I'll ask it for those that don't listen to me very much and they struggle to track with how fast I talk. What does it mean for our flesh to be sick? Right? What are the scriptures referring to when they talk about a flesh that is sick? What are they talking about? Are they talking about cancer? Did Adam have a cancer in the beginning after he ate from the tree? Was his flesh sick? Yeah, sure was. Did he need a healing right after he ate from the tree? Yeah. Was it a healing from a cancer that he needed? No. He lived for 1,000 years after that. You see what I'm saying? So sickness in the flesh means for the flesh to be taken from rest and to be excited unto the motion of sin. Right? It's like James said, when lust is conceived in the heart, then comes sin. Lust for what? Life, peace, joy. When lust for peace and love and joy and kindness is conceived in the heart, right, then it will become the motion of sin. Because then that flesh will do things to try to have peace and love and joy, right? That's how it will go. So sickness in the flesh means for the flesh to be taken from rest and for it to be excited unto the motion of sin. And that through that, for a person to be clothed in the fruit of death and the works of the flesh, right? If you notice Adam, he saw he was naked and he lusted after what? Being clothed with life. He didn't call out to God to clothe him. He had a lust in his heart to be clothed with life, and he lusted after life through his flesh. And he tried to clothe himself. Now, when he tried to clothe himself, what was he clothed in? Thorns and thistles. And so he was still naked because he wasn't clothed in the fruit of God's life. He was clothed in thorns and thistles. Right? So that's what sickness in the flesh looks like. You're taken from rest. Your members are excited unto the motion of sin. And I don't mean excited like happy. Agitated, poked, compelled, annoyed, right? Unto trying to attain to life itself. Right? Your members are agitated unto trying to clothe yourself in life. When that happens, your members don't possess the ability to produce life. When that happens, what will happen is the works of the flesh will come forth and you'll be clothed in the fruit of death or the works of the flesh. That's what it means for the flesh to be sick. That's what it's talking about for the flesh that is sick. So a flesh that is sick or in need of healing is a flesh that is lusting after life. A healing for the flesh would look like lust being removed. That's what it would look like for the flesh to be healed. For your lusting after life to be removed. For it to be taken away. Right? So a flesh that is sick and in need of healing, it's a flesh that wants to gather life unto itself. Right? It's been excited, like we just talked about with the motion of sin. A flesh that's in need of being healed or in need of a healing, it's been excited by the motion of sin to try to gather unto itself peace and love and joy and kindness and all the fruit of the Spirit. Right? It's been agitated to the place where it's enlisted its own self to try to gather around it peace and love and joy. Right? You ever tried to gather peace unto yourself? Through your own works? Do you know what that looks like? You want me to tell you what it looked like for me? Drug addiction. Alcohol abuse. So you see, I sat in a place where I didn't have peace. I didn't like that. And so my flesh was agitated, or the motion of sin was excited inside of me to try to gather peace unto myself. Now, the way this flesh tries to gather peace is by what? What was the fruit of that? Drug addiction, alcoholism, all those kinds of things. Do you see how that worked? Do you see what that dynamic looks like? Do you see how the flesh's way to gather peace was actually the fruit of death? Do you see how when the flesh tried to gather peace to it, to me, it produced the fruit of death? It produced more death. It produced more sickness. It gave me more ailments. Do you see that? Do you see how that dynamic works? See, my flesh was in need of being healed. I was in need of being healed, man. I needed health for my flesh. And what would that health have looked like if the lust for peace could have been removed? Do you know how the lust for peace can be removed? By God coming and giving you peace. And you have peace in God. And then you're no longer lusting after peace because you say, I have peace in God. And when you say, I have peace in God, what will happen is the motion of sin that was excited in your members will be healed. Your flesh will be taken from laboring and toiling, and it will be put to rest. Glory to God. That's what it means for the flesh to be healed. In a real simple terms, for people that want it the simplest way and don't want all the difficult explanations, healing for the flesh is for the flesh that was made sick by being taken from rest to be put to rest. That's healing for the flesh. A flesh that is sick is a flesh that's laboring and toiling to give itself life or to gather unto itself peace and love and joy and kindness and all the other fruit of the Spirit. That's a flesh that is sick. Healing for that flesh would be for it to be put to rest from its labors to try and grab or gather the fruit of the Spirit unto itself. Do you see that? Does that make any sense? Right? So a flesh that's in need of healing is excited unto the motion of trying to gather unto itself the fruit of the Spirit. And because of that, it's been taken from rest. It's filled with labors and annoyances. It's toiling to try to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And in all of its toil to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, do you know what it produces instead? The works of the flesh. You see that? Do you see how, like when you get a cold, first the germ gets inside of you, right? And then the germ is inside of you, but then it brings out something in your body, doesn't it? I mean, listen, I just had a real bad cold, and I must have blown so much snot out of my nose and coughed up so much stuff out of my lungs. I mean, the stuff that came out of my body was part of the sickness, right? But also the germ that got in there was part of the sickness. And so the sickness that come upon the flesh is that it was taken from rest. And then through it being taken from rest, it toiled to try to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. And as it toiled to try to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, it produced the works of the flesh. That's the sickness there, right? That's the thing God come to heal. In fact, if you go back to Psalm 107:20, it says he sent his word and healed them from their destructions. What destructions? Where we ain't filled with love for one another. What did Jesus say? Abide in me and I'll abide in you, and that will cause you to love one another. Well, if the man's got to come and talk about loving one another, then that means the people were not loving one another. It means they were filled with hatred and envy and gossiping and backbiting for one another. Do you see what I'm saying? They were filled with destruction towards one another. One guy would come out to the end of his driveway, and he would see his next door neighbor come and took some of his apples. And he would think, those are my apples. I'll show him, and then he'll go burn his house down. Destructions. One guy will come out and see his neighbor staring at his wife and think, why is that guy looking at my wife? And then he'll go and beat up that guy, right? Instead of thinking, it's nice my wife is so beautiful that people look at her. Do you see how those are destructions? He sent his word to heal us from destructions, from the works of the flesh that found a way to come out of our bodies, even when we don't want them to. Sin found a way to an opportunity to manifest its fruit in us, and it was causing us to destroy one another. God sent his word to heal us from that. Glory to God. Right? So sickly flesh, or a flesh that's in need of healing, is a flesh that is decorated in hatred and envy and gossiping and backbiting and fornication. That's what a sickly flesh looks like. A flesh that's in need of healing is a flesh that is bearing that kind of a fruit. Right? Does that make sense? Sickly flesh is a flesh that is not functioning properly. And when I say it's not functioning properly, what I mean is that it's a flesh that's functioning in a manner that is not consistent with its design. It's functioning in a manner that is not consistent with its design. That's what I mean when I say it. And what do you mean that it's functioning in a manner that's not consistent with its design? Our flesh was never meant to labor in order to attain to life. It was never meant to be filled with labors in an attempt to attain to life. That's contrary to the design of our bodies. It's contrary to the design of man. It's contrary to the design of this flesh. Our flesh was never meant to be tilled like the ground to be fruitful. Our flesh was never meant to be worked the way a farmer works the ground to try to bring forth fruit. It was never meant for that. A flesh that is sick is a flesh that's being worked in order to try to produce the fruit of God's life. We're not farmers, man. And we're not trying to farm the fruit of God's life from our bodies. That's not what we're busy trying to do. And if you're busy working that, then you're busy with a sick flesh. And your flesh is in need of healing because it's functioning outside of its design. Our flesh was never meant to be taken from rest. It was never meant to bear the fruit of death. It was never meant for hatred or envy or gossiping or murder or stealing or fornication or any of that to be produced in it. It was never meant to be clothed in any of that. That is a sickness. And we were in need of a physician. So our flesh was sick in that the fruit that came forth in us was like thorns and thistles. Right? You see that? Glory to God. You know, in Genesis, when it talks about our bodies, in Genesis, when it talks about our bodies, it says that our bodies were made from the dust of the ground. Doesn't it? The ground. It's made from the ground. It's made from the soil, or it's made from the dirt. Our flesh was actually made from the same substance as the ground. Our bodies were made from the dirt, right? And they were made that way. In fact, if you do a study of the makeup of our bodies and the minerals that are in our bodies, and you do a study of the minerals that are contained in the dirt of the ground, you'll find they're almost exactly the same. Almost exactly the same. That's why when we take vitamins or we take minerals like selenium or zinc or all these kinds of things, they revitalize our bodies, don't they? They strengthen them because our bodies contain the same makeup as the dirt that's in the ground. Right? That's why they respond to proper nutrition right now. Now, in light of that understanding and that example, you can have soil that is healthy and rich with nutrients, or you can have soil that is sickly and void of nutrients and unable to bear fruit. Right? You can have rich soil, soil that's aerated real good, soil that has lots of nutrients, and you could plant something in that soil, and that soil will produce fruit. And we'll look at that soil and we'll say, that's good soil. That soil's healthy. Or you could take some other soil, that, like clay, that doesn't aerate very well, that isn't rich with nutrients, and you could try to plant a thing in that clay. And you could see that ain't nothing you can plant in that clay will produce fruit. But you can see the weeds and the thorns and the thistles growing the clay real good. Don't they? You don't. The thorns, man, ain't got no problem growing in the clay. You try and plant some like fruit-bearing plant in the clay, and it ain't happening. It's not happening. Listen, I love banana plants, banana trees, plants. When we were in Colorado, I had these red banana plants and these big, gigantic, I don't even know what they're called. Help me out, baby. What are the planters? We had gigantic ceramic, not even ceramic, I don't even know what kind of pots they were, clay pots. They were huge, man, and we planted these big banana plants in them. And they come growing out, man. Listen, I found that I love those banana plants. And I almost cried when we had to destroy those banana plants because we couldn't move them here with us because there was just no way to put those things here. Like, I love those plants so bad that, like, I seriously almost cried. And I'm not like, don't take this the wrong way. I know I'll offend somebody, but oh well. I'm not like a tree hugger or anything. You know what I'm saying? I don't have, like, some strange affinity for plants. Those things were just so big, and I mean, I just loved the way they just kept shooting out from the end. I was captivated by this thing. How does this thing keep producing all these things out of the inside? I'm like looking at the bottom of this planter thinking, where do those shoots come from? And so I was like captivated by this thing, man, watching it, and I love those plants. Well, we had to just destroy those things when we moved. And man, I was so sad about that. Then we finally got our house. We have some fruit plants, and they grow real good. So we only had a certain place where we could put the banana plants. And so I went over there and planted two banana plants over there on the side of the house. But listen, man, that soil was sick. It wasn't healthy. And it doesn't matter what I did to that soil. I worked that soil like nobody's business because I loved those banana plants. I wanted those things to grow. I was thinking these can even grow taller than the fence, and I'll have bananas, man. Bananas! Right? And man, I tilled that ground, I aerated that ground, I did all kinds of things to try to make that ground rich. I did all kinds of things to try to make that ground bear those bananas and bear that fruit. And it didn't matter what I did, I could never get those banana trees to grow and to produce fruit. They started out okay, and they looked like they might get going, but eventually they withered and died. Now, as I watch them withering and dying, and I'm working the ground to try to produce the bananas, and the ground is sick, the ground isn't healthy, the ground can't produce fruit, I notice something strange happening there. That ground was easily producing thorns and thistles. And those things were running wild, boy. And so it was clear to me that that ground was sick because it couldn't produce fruit, and it wasn't producing fruit, but it was producing thorns and thistles. So what we could say is, the ground was not healthy because it was bearing thorns and thistles instead of fruit, right? You guys following that so far? Now, what would be health and healing to that soil would be as if it could be filled with nutrients and it could bear fruit and not thorns and thistles. Do you see what I'm saying? That would be health and healing for the soil or for the ground, right? The soil being healed would look like the thorns and thistles being replaced with fruit. Bananas, right? Because that's what I wanted, bananas. And so that ground was in need of a healing. The healing it needed was that it was bearing thorns and thistles and it was supposed to be bearing fruit. And so the ground needed to be healed so that the fruit that it could bear would be the fruit of bananas and not thorns and thistles, right? Guys, our bodies were made from the ground. It's the same kind of a way. Our flesh was never meant to bear the fruit of death or the works of the flesh. It was never meant for that. But our flesh had gotten sick because it was taken from rest, and we were toiling it, working it, trying to produce fruit, and it couldn't produce fruit. The more we tried to do that, the more we were producing the works of the flesh, thorns and thistles. That's what God's talking about in Genesis when he says to Adam, because you've eaten from this tree, you're going to try to find life by the sweat of your brow. He's telling Adam, you've been taken from rest now because you've eaten from the tree that brings death. And you're now living by the knowledge of good and evil. And you saw that you weren't clothed in eternal life yet. And you judged yourself to be evil. And that took you from rest and caused you to start working your body to try to bring forth fruit. And then that clothed you in the works of the flesh. That's what it means that God said, you're going to live by the sweat of your brow and you're going to produce thorns and thistles. Adam needed to be healed from thorns and thistles coming forth out of him. He needed to be healed from living by the sweat of his brow. That's the healing that Adam needed, glory to God. That's the healing that his flesh was in need of. His flesh was excited unto the motion of sin. He's trying to clothe himself. What is he trying to clothe himself in? The fruit of God's life. What did he clothe himself in? Thorns and thistles. His flesh needed to be healed. The thing it needed to be healed from was its labors. He needed to be healed from living by the sweat of his brow. He needed his body to be healed from bearing thorns and thistles. And he needed his body to be clothed in the fruit of God's life. That's the healing that his flesh needed. Glory to God, man. I hope that makes some sense. Psalms chapter 16, verse 9 and 10. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For, this person's talking to God, the Father. For, you will not leave my soul in hell. That's the place of the dead. You will not leave me in death or in the grave. Neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You see that? Now listen, guys, the psalmist here, this is David talking. And David is talking about something that's happening in his life and something he knows about God. The scriptures say that David had a heart after God's own heart. So David is talking with God, but the psalmist is also speaking prophetically by inspiration of the Spirit of the Son, right? He's speaking by inspiration of the Spirit of the Son when he says, my flesh rests in hope. Who's the Holy One? Isn't that Jesus? You see how the person is calling themselves the Holy One? Now, David was saying that because he was anointed to be king. And so it's true there. But it's also true that Jesus is the Holy One. Where was Jesus going to end up? The grave. What would his flesh not want? To see corruption. So then his flesh would have been excited unto the motion of sin to try to save itself from death. But Jesus says, the Father has said something to me that has put my flesh to rest. You see that? Glory to God. Now listen, guys, hope. We have a real problem with our meaning of hope, and it messes us up. Hope in the Bible and in this verse isn't the worldly sense of hope where we say, maybe it will happen. That's not hope. Our idea of hope is maybe it will happen, right? Like, I hope that my teeth don't fall out my mouth. Listen, what I'm saying is, I don't know if that's going to be, but I hope, right? It's like up in the air. Biblical hope is much different. It's a certainty. So when you see the word hope in the Bible, it's talking about a certainty, a done deal, a case closed. No ands, if, buts about it, right? And so biblical hope is a certainty of life and immortality coming to pass in you. So Jesus is talking to the Father. When is Jesus saying this to the Father? Guys, we could get a lot of joy in understanding the scriptures if we could see. Jesus was on the cross for a long time, man. There's only a few verses that describe Jesus' interactions on the cross. Do you think that's all that was going on in Jesus when he was on the cross for like 6 hours? I think science says that the human brain has like 30-something thousand thoughts a minute. More if you're a woman, they say. Guys, women think more than us. Right? And so Jesus had a whole lot of stuff going on inside of him all that time he was on the cross. And the Gospels do not accurately record everything that was going on inside of him. But do you know what does? The Psalms. The Psalms give us a glimpse into the heart of Jesus while he's hanging on the cross. So this Psalm 16, my flesh rests in hope, for you will not suffer my soul to stay in hell. That's Jesus on the cross. This is showing us something that went on inside of Jesus when he's nailed to the tree, when he's nailed to the cross, when he's taken the sin and death of the world upon him. What do you think sin was trying to do to Jesus when he was nailed to that tree? What do you think it was trying to do to his flesh? It was trying to excite the motion of sin inside of him. It was trying to fill him with lust to attain to life himself. It was trying to work his flesh up to where his flesh would say, I got to give myself life. I'm clothed in death. I got to clothe myself in life. And so Jesus says in that place, the Father said something to him. The Father spoke a word to him, and that word put his flesh to rest, even as he hung nailed to the cross with the sin and death of the world upon him. He said his flesh was put to death, his flesh was put to rest on the cross by the certainty that he would be raised unto eternal life and immortality in his flesh. So right at the moment where his flesh was trying to be agitated unto working, because he's clothed in all death, and you see, his flesh wants life. His flesh is longing for life while it has nothing but death. Right in that place where his flesh is busy being pressed in on, trying to be excited unto the motion of sin, to try to lust after life itself, he says he heard the Father say to him, I will not suffer your soul to remain in the place of the dead, neither will I allow your body to see the corruption in the grave. And he says that healed his flesh. That put his flesh to rest. While his flesh was feeling that it had to work, that it had to save itself from death, that it had to clothe itself with the fruit of life, God spoke a word and it put his flesh to rest, glory to God. You see that? So Jesus is saying in the Psalms, he's saying the word of life, the Father's promise to raise me from the dead and clothe me with his life, it put my flesh to rest. Right in the moment where it was being poked and prodded and agitated unto labors and annoyances. Remember, in Proverbs 4, God said, his word is health and healing to all our flesh. What did Jesus just say happened to his flesh? It was put to rest. What put his flesh to rest? The word he heard from the Father. What does Proverbs 4 say? Attend to my words, my son, for they will be health to all your flesh. Do you think Jesus is talking with the Father in Proverbs about what would put his flesh to rest when he was going to end up nailed to the tree? And do you think that the Father is also trying to teach all of us so we can grow in wisdom and stature, and we can find health come upon all our flesh? And we can find our flesh healed from its labors. And we can find our flesh healed from hatred and envy and gossiping and backbiting. We can find ourselves inoculated from the works of the flesh and the fruit of death. And we can find ourselves bearing the fruit of the Spirit, glory to God. So Proverbs says, God said, my word is health and healing to all your flesh. It's health to all your flesh. What word? The same word we just talked about in Psalm 16. The word of life that was manifested in the body of Jesus' resurrection. That word of life, the word of a life that overcomes sin and death, the certainty of the life that overcomes sin and death coming to pass in me, the certainty that the corruption that's manifesting in my body will be swallowed up with incorruption, the certainty that my body will be glorified with the immortality of God. It satisfies my flesh. It comes and promises my flesh what my flesh longs for in the place where my flesh is being prodded and poked and agitated unto laboring itself. That word of life, it satisfies the longing in my heart. And that's how it puts my flesh to rest. It makes my sick heart well. It heals my broken heart. It heals it. It makes it whole. And it acts as a balm being rubbed on my flesh, calming the motion of sin that was excited in my members by death. That's what it does. That word is like a balm, ma'am. My members are being excited with the motion of sin. The excitement of, I got to attain to life myself. I got to get myself peace. I got to gather unto myself peace and love and joy and kindness. I got to fix all this fruit in my life. I got to clothe myself with the life of God. That's the excitement of sin. That's the motion of sin trying to be manifested in my members. The word of life is a balm on my flesh. It calms that. It calms the motion of sin that's excited in my members by the death that's in the world. How does it calm it? Do you know what the word of life says? This life overcomes that death. This life conquers the grave. This life won't leave your soul in hell. This life won't suffer your body to see corruption. That's what this life does. And not only does this life overcome all that, once it overcomes it inside of you, it brings you forth in a place where none of those things can ever come upon you ever again. Do you see how that puts my flesh to rest? And it heals me from the motion of sin that's trying to come alive inside of me? By the perception that I'm lacking peace, I'm lacking joy. Guys, I don't think if we realize this, but if we believed on God, if we believed on Jesus for eternal life, the only way we could be lacking peace and love and joy is if God was lacking peace and love and joy. Is God lacking peace and love and joy? Is there ever a situation where God could be lacking peace and love and joy? Well, are we one with God? Is God in us? Is it the fullness of God that's in us? Then how is it that we conclude that we're lacking peace, that we're lacking joy, that we're lacking kindness, that we're lacking love? How is it that we come to those conclusions when the tribulation of this world comes to our house? Why is it that our mind jumping to all those things are found in the word of life that he spoke to me in Jesus? I have all of them. They're inside of me. Let me now just sit with God and talk to him about the word of life. And that will calm my flesh. It will heal my heart. It will make my sick heart well, guys. That's what the word of life does. The word of life that manifested in Jesus is health to all my flesh. That's how it is. The word of life has replaced the fear that was in my heart with the love of God. And it's decorated my flesh with peace and love and joy and kindness and meekness. Right? You see how that works? The word of life heals your heart and then heals your flesh. That's how it does, man. And so a healthy flesh, what does a healthy flesh look like? A healthy flesh is a flesh that is at rest on account of beholding the certainty of life and immortality in Jesus. I behold that I have a certainty of life and immortality coming to pass in me. I behold that when I feel sorrowful, I have a certainty of joy coming to pass in me. I have a certainty that when I feel subverted, I have a certainty of peace coming to pass in me. I have a certainty that when I feel angry, I have a certainty that I'm going to have kindness come to pass in me. I have a certainty of all that through the word of life in Christ. That word of life gives me a certainty, and it puts my flesh to rest. It's healing to all my flesh. You see that? Keeps me from laboring to produce peace. Right? How many times we labor to produce peace in our relationships? Have you ever noticed, man, that you want people to behave like you behave? No, seriously, man. You ever notice how we congregate and really like being around people that think like us? We feel all right about it. We get around people that they're just different than us. But then we don't just conclude that they're different than us. We conclude we don't like the way they are. There's a problem with how they are. Right? Now, if I try to bring myself peace in that situation, it looks like me trying to change them. Instead of me finding peace from God and not being worried about changing them, and I'll even, in fact, find myself enjoying their idiosyncrasies that are different than mine. And I'll actually be able to see how those idiosyncrasies that aggravate me might sometimes bless me, right? It's funny how we function like that, right? And just real quick, man, and then we're going to finish up. I've done a poor job in the past of explaining what rest was, And so I try to hammer it as many times as I can, because I think it leaves people thinking rest is like a carnal thing. And then we're even trying to bring forth rest by our own works, right? We're even in sin when we're resting, if that can make any sense. So I don't want people to interpret rest, the rest that I'm talking about here, through the carnal mind, right? We don't define rest as inactivity. Rest is not about activity or inactivity. It's about the heart behind your activity. Does that make sense? It's the heart behind your activity. Is your activity born from trying to attain to life? Or is your activity born from already having life? Right? Does that make sense? That's what we're talking about here. A person can labor more abundantly than everyone, i.e. the Apostle Paul, right? You can labor more abundantly than them all and yet still be at rest. Do you see what I'm saying? And a person can also not labor at all and do nothing and not be at rest. Do you see what I'm saying? So we can also experience uncomfortableness in our flesh and still be at rest. See, I used to think if I felt uncomfortable, that meant I wasn't at rest and that was a problem. Well, I see that whole idea blown up in the Word made flesh in Jesus, because I see Jesus felt uncomfortable in his flesh, and we know he was always at rest, right? So don't let the stranger trick you when you feel uncomfortable in your flesh. Don't let the stranger trick you and make you think that you're not in rest or make you think something's wrong or that you lack something you need. If you're uncomfortable, it must be because you're lacking something you need. The moment he gets you to bite that hook, line, and sinker is the moment your flesh is going to be excited with the motion of sin to try to gain what you say you don't have that you need. Uncomfortableness, stress, pain is not a sign that you don't have something you need. It's not, man. And when you begin to live that way, you find yourself connecting to God in those places instead of lust being conceived in your flesh to try to get what you say you don't have. Right? Healing for the flesh. Like, God healed me, man. I was busy getting up here every day preaching, and I felt so uncomfortable. I felt like I was going to die when we first started the church. I felt like I was sweating blood. And every day I thought, I'm not at rest. This isn't rest. This isn't rest. I gotta quit this thing. I gotta stop doing this. This isn't rest. This isn't grace. And then God come and changed my thoughts about rest. And he healed me, right? If I would have quit the church, that would have been me trying to rest by my own works. You see me? That would have been me lusting after rest through my flesh. That would be me saying, this uncomfortableness means I'm not in rest, and now I'm going to enlist my own flesh to gain the rest that I say I don't have. The way I was going to do that was by quitting doing what I love. Guys, don't take this the wrong way, but I've had to come to the place where I don't care if you like how I preach. And I don't mean that in a negative way. What I mean is that I realize what I'm saying is full of power, and it doesn't require for you to like how I do it. Right? You see, rest was always there because I was still getting up here even though I felt uncomfortable. And now, because I didn't remove myself from that rest by trying to attain to rest through my own flesh, rest was able to work itself out through me. And now even the uncomfortableness has been calmed. Right? So be careful with that. We make negative judgments about everything. We live by the knowledge of good and evil. We feel uncomfortable and we judge it's evil. Therefore, we must be evil. We feel pain, it's evil. Therefore, we must be evil. We feel hurt, it's evil. Therefore, we must be lacking something. And then that's how sin excites itself. The motion of sin gets excited inside of us. Because the moment we make that conclusion, our flesh is going to be agitated to the place where it tries to get what we say we don't have. For me, it was peace. All this suffering I'm experiencing, I lack peace. I need to get it. And the way I went and got it was by getting high, which was not peace at all, right? Does that make sense? And that can manifest in a lot of different ways. So the way you want to look at it is any labor that we do was always meant to be born from having an abundance of life. Anything we do is supposed to be born from the persuasion of my cup runneth over, instead of the persuasion my cup is half empty. Do you see what I'm saying? That's how it's supposed to be born. When our labor is born from my cup is empty and I need to fill it, that's when we know we've been taken from rest. When our labor is born from my cup is full, then that's how we know our labor is born from a place of rest. Right? Do you see how that works? Like, honestly, and I'm speaking as a fool right now for the sake of an example. I probably preach more than most people I know. I preach so many messages during the week, it's obscene. I answer so many questions during the week, it's obscene. I respond to so many, it's obscene. I'm just going. Listen, but none of that I'm doing is born for me trying to fill a cup, right? All that's happening is my cup has been so full by God that it's overflowing. And everything I'm doing is coming from that place, abundance, not lack, right? Does that make sense? That's how you look at your activity. If your activity is born from you thinking you lack something or you're not doing something right for God, then you've been taken from rest. If your activity is born from this is what God expects me to do, therefore I'm going to do it, you've been taken from rest. Right? You've been taken from rest. And it ain't going to be long before you find the wrong fruit manifesting out of your flesh and you think, what's going on? Right? We'll finish with this verse. 1 Peter 2:24. This is one of our favorite verses. We used to always confess this. You got to stand on the promises of God, brother. By his stripes you've been healed. We're going to get that cancer and that fever out of you. By his stripes you've been healed. Forget what the verse is talking about. I mean, you know, we got our own view of what that's talking about. Forget what that verse actually says. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we don't even stop to read it. We're going to fit that verse into what we want, right? But we'll just read that verse, and I'm going to explain it. I'm going to try and do it slow. And then we're done. Glory to God. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Right? Now again, guys, we like to quote that end of that verse to try to say this is a promise from God. And we quote it as getting a cancer or a physical ailment being healed. What I'm about to undo about this verse isn't to say we don't lay hands on the sick and that they can't get a miraculous healing. It's just that's not what this verse is talking about. And we want to actually see what this verse is talking about because it's actually full of power, right? So when Peter's the one who wrote this. So Peter gets to define what he means himself. When Peter's the one who said, by his stripes you are healed, then he's the one that we're going to let define what that means. We're not going to define it ourselves, okay? So Peter defines the healing he's talking about in this verse. And he defines it when he says that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. That's the way Peter describes the healing he's talking about. Right? So Peter calls that healing, being dead to sin, dead to sins, and alive to righteousness. It's eerily similar to what, I don't want to say eerily, it's verily. It's very much like what Paul said in Romans 6. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Right? So he's saying something happened in Jesus that caused us to be dead to sin but alive to righteousness. And he calls that being healed. Okay, that's what he calls being healed there. Okay, so his description of being healed is our bodies being made available for the fruit of the Spirit and no longer available for the works of the flesh. Remember Paul in Romans 6 talks about presenting our members unto sin or presenting our members unto righteousness. He said the way you present your members unto sin is by living as if death is still reigning over you. The way you present your members as outlets for the fruit of the Spirit is by walking in the newness of life. That's what Peter's talking about here, right? What he's saying is Jesus took our sin and our death upon himself on the tree. But we were crucified with Christ. We died with him unto the death that is in this world. So now death is no longer reigning over us. So now we're dead to the power of sin to bring forth its fruit in us. We're dead to the power of sin to bring forth hatred and envy and gossiping and backbiting inside of us. Because the power sin had to do that was death. Well, now Jesus took our death into himself and we were in him and we died unto that death once for all time. And so now we're dead to sin. We're dead to the death that sin used to bring forth its fruit in us. And now we're alive to the righteousness of God. We're alive to the fruit of God's life because now God has made us partakers of his divine nature. And since we're alive to his life, we're braided together with his life, now our members are available for the fruit of the Spirit. Now our members are wrapped up in love and peace and joy and kindness and meekness and patience, glory to God. That's what he calls healed, by whose stripes you are healed. Healed from the works of the flesh unto the fruit of the Spirit. Healed. That's what he's saying there, man. Right? One of the word righteousness can be used a lot of different ways in the scriptures. One of the meanings of the word righteousness is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. If you go and read Galatians 5, Paul talks about us having a hope of righteousness. That we, through the Spirit, do wait for the hope or the certainty of righteousness. He goes on to describe that righteousness as faith, the faith of God, being like a seed that produces the fruit of love and joy and peace and kindness and long-suffering and meekness and all those things. So Peter's saying, we were sick. We were alive to sin. We were sick because we were slaves to sin. Through death reigning over us. Death was reigning over us. Sin was taking our members captive through death reigning over us. It was taking us captive to a life of laboring and toiling, and that brought forth its fruit in our flesh. But now, because Jesus took our death into his body on the cross, the serpent's head has been crushed. We're dead to the serpent's bite, and we're alive to God in his eternal life. By his stripes we were healed. Do you see that? So when I walk in the newness of life, like Paul says, when I walk in this world knowing it's not death that reigns over me, it's eternal life that reigns over me. Do you know what will come forth out of me? The fruit of righteousness. I've been healed. You see? So Peter's saying, where we were once enslaved to sin through death, and on account of that, always bearing about in our bodies the works of the flesh, we have been healed from that. We are now enslaved to righteousness through eternal life. And we're always now bearing about in our bodies the fruit of the Spirit because of that. The word of eternal life that has come forth in Jesus, what it's done is it's put our flesh to rest and it's bringing forth its fruit in us. Whereas before, our lives were decorated with the works of the flesh, now our lives are decorated with the fruit of the Spirit. That's what Peter's saying. That's the healing he's talking about. He's saying mankind was filled with destruction. Nothing but thorns and thistles were coming out of us towards one another. We were all our days bearing the works of the flesh. We were taken from rest by the bite of the serpent, by the venom of the serpent, by the serpent's bite. The serpent's bite made our flesh sick with death and the works of the flesh. Peter says, we're dead to the serpent's bite. We were crucified with Christ. Right? What does Numbers say? In Numbers, God tells Moses to take a bronze serpent. The serpent had just been biting them. And he says, take a bronze serpent and hang it on the pole. And all the people that behold the bronze serpent hanging on the pole, they'll be healed. Healed from what, man? They were healed from death. And so we need to understand how death made us sick. Death stung our hearts with fear. That's how it made our hearts sick. Our hearts were never made for fear. Fear is a sickness that's come into our hearts. Our hearts were made for love, and now fear's there. So now our hearts are sick. Now our sick hearts that are filled with fear, they make our members sick because they take our members captive to laboring and toiling. They take our members from rest and cause us to try to attain to life ourselves. That makes our flesh sick now. And then that produces the works of the flesh in our bodies. It makes our flesh the kind of ground that produces thorns and thistles. It makes our flesh sick. Right? Do any of you guys like it when you have a cold? It sucks, huh? How many of you like it when you feel hatred for somebody? Sucks, huh? Funny, you feel the same way about the cold as you do about feeling hatred for somebody. How many of you like it when you're filled with fornication? You think this ain't right, don't you? This sucks. It's like a cold, man. This sucks. How many of you like it when you're filled with envy? Does it feel nice? I mean, do you feel like, my gosh, glory to God? No, you're busy thinking this sucks. Just like with the runny nose, man. Like this cold lasted for 4 weeks. Becky and I kept talking about how much this sucks. It was a sickness that had to go. So Peter, when he says, by his stripes you're healed, what Peter is saying is Jesus came and took the death that was stinging us into his own body. And by doing that, he delivered us from the one who held us in bondage through the fear of death. He delivered us from the taskmaster who was inciting our members unto work by stinging us with death and filling our hearts with fear. He was like a taskmaster with a whip, whipping our flesh into action by stinging us with death and filling our hearts with fear. Peter's saying Jesus come and took that death into his own body on the tree to deliver us from that taskmaster that was able to excite our flesh unto the motion of sin. He's saying Jesus crushed the serpent's head by taking the death that was reigning over us into his own body on the cross. And just like in Numbers, Peter is coming and saying, all those who behold their death to death in Jesus on the cross are healed from the motion of sin in their flesh, and they're healed from the works of the flesh. By his stripes you're healed. You behold his death to sin and death, and likewise consider his death to sin and death your death to sin and death. I've been delivered from death. How can death sting me if I've been delivered? How can it make me afraid if I've been delivered? By his stripes I was healed. You see that? Healing looks like the love of God born in a person's heart and manifesting out in their members. That the love of God means peace, love, joy, all those things. Sickness looks like fear dwelling in the heart and fear working itself out of our members through murdering and envy and gossiping and backbiting and hatred and fornication. You see? By his stripes, we were healed. Does that make any sense? Healing for our flesh, right? I decided a long time ago, glory to God, we'll pray to get a miracle, and we rejoice in that. But what I find much more happy is when I see people, their health prospering through fear and stress being removed. I find that I get happy when I see people filled with the love of God. And I find that that's the healing that I'm after. That's the healing that has staying power, right? That's the healing that can cause a person to be sustained while they walk in this earth. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, that your word is health and healing to all our flesh. Thank you, Lord, that this word can go forth, that people's flesh can be put to rest, that they can find their hearts delivered from fear, and that they can find your fruit manifesting in their lives, that they can find your word is bringing forth its fruit in them, and they can find themselves being clothed in your peace and your love and your joy, and they can find themselves being stripped of hatred and murder and envy and gossip and backbiting and stealing and fornication. Thank you, Father, that it's your desire to heal us, that you don't despise us when you find us in the place where our flesh is sick, that you don't hate us, that you're not filled with anger towards us, but that you only have a desire to heal our flesh and to put it to rest and to bring forth your fruit in us so that we can enjoy your well-being, the well-being that comes from a heart that's filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you guys so much. You're awesome. Happy Sunday. Go in peace. Grace and peace is unto you through the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.